Blog Talk Radio.
We'll do it live! Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Thing sucks!
Yeah! We're doing it live, Andrew! And you know what that means? We're doing it live and it is the middle of January and the Saints are in the playoffs. That means fucking news has dropped like a bomb. And the Saints...
Like a bomb.
They had some news. They had a ton of news yesterday, but it's going to have to wait because they dropped even bigger news about 45 minutes ago. Tom Benson had a release saying Rita Benson LeBlanc is out. She no longer works for the Saints. They took her cell phone. They took her company car. They closed her office off. And, oh, by the way, wife number three gets the football team, gets the Pelicans. Thanks for playing. Drive through. Andrew, we can get all into it. And if you want to call in, join us, 646-595-4450. I'm not completely stunned because she had been on double secret probation. Benson is a hard-ass, old-school World War II vet. If you don't work hard, he don't want nothing to do with you. So it doesn't surprise me a little bit, but, I mean, still, it surprises me a little bit. I should have said, it doesn't shock me, but it surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, she was on thin ice. I mean, if you remember in 2012, she was suspended. And it was one of those things where, you know, a lot of rumors were starting to surface about Rita, you know, and some of it was substantiated, some of it was not. You know, there was stuff that was as far out there as suggesting that, you know, he didn't approve of her sexual orientation. And, you know, there was all sorts of crazy, crazy stuff that was put out there. But the stuff that was more substantiated from a business standpoint was, you know, that she fired 30 assistants in 6 years and that, you know, she would go on the company dime to take trips, these booze binging trips to Europe and to South America just for fun. And
that was in the paper. This is not speculation between me and Andrew.
No,
Google
this was. Yeah, you can Google it. These are sources from Jeff Duncan. I mean, she's known for having just a very abrasive style. And, you know, I think she's kind of viewed by a lot of people as a spoiled rich kid. So I do think the writing was on the wall a little bit. You know, there's a lot of rumors that Sean Payton refuses to talk to her, refuses to work with her. And a lot of the clause in his contract that he asked to have tied to Mickey Loomis, that if Mickey Loomis left, that he had an out clause. I think a lot of that was due to the fact that he didn't want to be with the Saints anymore if Rita owned the team and Loomis wasn't kind of a go-between. So, you know, I think that it's a lot of things, and over the years, obviously, she hasn't shaped up, and it's unfortunate for her. But, man, in terms of what it means for the Saints, you know, obviously Benson's the guy for now, and but it does make me nervous. I mean, obviously, Gail Benson is nowhere near qualified to run a team. And, you know, obviously, he's got his close confidants and people he trusts that have obviously been running the business pretty well. But, you know, who knows what Gail's relationship with those guys are.
You know, Jeff Duncan did a thing on the succession plan. And if my computer wasn't horribly, horribly slow, I'd Google it. But they had set up a succession plan to where they were going to set up a board to help run the team. You know, and it would be Loomis and Dennis Lauscher. Phil something, who's one of – Benson's got, like, two lawyers that are his from, like, way back when. Those two guys and other people, like, aboard. So if the thing is, Gail doesn't need to know how to run the team. She just needs to know that she doesn't know how to run the team, you know?
Right, and that's a big question, does she?
You know, and I believe she probably – does. And the good thing is with this is, look, Benson, I hope he lives to be 100, but the man's 87. He's a World War II vet and he's not in the best health. You know, so to me, look, I know a lot of people can't get past what he did post-Katrina. I get it. Look, he tried to move the team. Tagliabue told him to go fly a kite. He didn't. Now he's trying to build his legacy. If you don't want to get over that, I get it. Look, Yeah. And he's like, I get it. Some things that you can't get over. But I will give credit, Benson, for this. He fired his own flesh and blood and put the Saints' well-being as the best, as he thought of it, ahead of his own flesh and blood, which that, to me, is a good thing.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, look, if anyone is concerned about Gail Benson one day owning the team, they absolutely 100% should be. But if you're paying attention to all the warning signs and all the red flags we've seen with Rita, you should have been even more worried if Rita was running the team. I don't know that this really changes anything for me in terms of my concern post-Benson, but
yeah,
we'll just have to see how it plays out. This is obviously
all right,
really big
we got
news.
Calls. We got calls, Andrew. Here's how it works. When you call in, we identify you by the last four digits of your phone number, 9135. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. It's Ryan. This is Ryan from Twitter. Crazy
hey,
guy.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Andrew. Hey, Ralph. What's
how
up?
How you doing, man?
I'm here. I'm doing all right. Watching Tulane play SMU is tied up at 22 in New Orleans. I was talking to some. I was tweeting. You know, you guys know I'm on Twitter. Both of y'all follow me on Twitter,
yeah.
And I had thought about two instances when this news broke out. One is when the Cardinals, you guys know I'm a huge St. Louis Cardinals fan, and for years the Bush family they owned the team, and August Jr. got sick. So after he, Whitey Herzog was the manager during the '80s, and make the long story short, he really wasn't fond of the younger Bush son.
Yeah.
So he was fond of him, and the difference between where he hired people, baseball people, to run the team and make the team successful, the younger Bush really didn't give a damn about baseball. So so he was looking to sell the team and make sure it stayed in St. Louis. And the rest is history. And the thing is, I thought about with the Bears, Papa Hollis, he gave the control over to his daughter. His daughter got the team. And then, more importantly, he didn't want his grandson, Michael McCaskey, to run the team. And his daughter had to fire her son, her own
yeah,
son.
Yeah, it's true. She did. She did.
Yeah.
She I don't know if they fired. They didn't fire him like they fired Rita. But they stripped him of everything and made him a board member. But
yeah.
but Ryan, it's the same thing. And we got some other calls, so I want to ask you this: do you feel better now about the Saints' future than you did knowing it was going to be Rita in charge?
I think now I feel at the present moment I feel better. I think you have to have somebody. Here's the thing. Gail is, and I agree with what you guys say, Gail has to understand she doesn't know how to run the team. Let Dennis
yeah.
and Nikki do the thing. That's what you have
yeah.
to do. You sign the
yeah,
check.
I agree.
Sign the check and let the people, the football people and the basketball people run the team. That's what you have
yeah.
to do. When you get involved,
if she, yeah, you're right, Ryan. I agree. If she can stay out of the way, and, I will say this about Gail Benson. She has always presented herself well. She's a good ambassador. And, those are things that Rita's a little rough around the edges sometimes, and she can explode. And, that she's maybe not someone you want shaking hands with the bigwigs. Whereas Gail can hold herself fine with that kind of stuff.
Right.
You got to have people that are calm.
You got to have people that know. It's just like with any business. It's just like with any business. I work. You guys know I do a radio
yeah.
show on Friday
yeah.
night. And on Friday, when we decided to do our show, I was like, okay, here's the people I'm going to go with. Okay, if you're going to be, you know, not committed and just be, you know, an ass or whatever, I'm not going to work with you. But if you committed and you're serious and you're calm about things, I'll work with you. And Rita yeah. just doesn't think that way. Rita seems like a, you
yeah.
know, just seem that way to me.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
Ryan, I think to Ryan's point, I would also say that
Ryan,
you
thanks
know,
for the phone call, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. Further to Ryan's point, I would say that you know, if there's one thing Benson did well, it was kind of let the experts run the business.
Yeah, and the thing is, people always say, well, Benson, you know, before Katrina, Benson's cheap, Benson's this, Benson's that. Benson always let the football people. He knew when he bought the Saints, I don't know what I'm doing. The NFL helped him get Jim Finks. You know, Jim Finks died, so he struggled. He made bad decisions with Mora. Q Herrick, who Benson really liked Q Herrick. Q Herrick saw, I'll hire Dicka, that'll save my job. But Benson has always let the football people run it. And that's been a good thing. And Benson, they've said he's cheap, but he's not been cheap. The Saints have always spent money. But, you know, Andrew, here's the thing. Here's the reason why I feel much better about it not being Rita and it being Gail. Rita is not from New Orleans. She can say she's here, blah, blah, blah. She's not from New Orleans. Gail is from Algiers. She's well known within the social circles of New Orleans. And here's the thing that I really like about she's going to own the teams is she'll be committed to the city because she knows that New Orleans is where she's from. If she's the person that sells the team to San Antonio or sells it to Portland or wherever, she knows when she dies, the first paragraph of her obituary is going to be Gail Benson.
Traitor.
She sold the Saints to Portland. And listen, to people that have money and legacy, those things really, really matter. If you don't think they matter, why is Benson bought the Pelicans, gave $10 million to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, gave money to Tulane Stadium? You know, I mean, it matters.
Yeah,
and
her legacy kind of starts today, you know, I mean, with this announcement. So, no, I agree with you, Ralph. And I think if between the two, if you ask me which one is more likely, I hope I don't eat my words here, but which one is more likely to move the team to L.A.? It's definitely Rita.
Well, I'm not worried about L.A. because the Rams or the Chargers are going to L.A.
Yeah.
Maybe both. Or the Raiders. I mean,
you got some other callers?
Not yet. I want to say we had a couple that right, and Ryan was going, they dropped out. If you want to call back 595-4450, I want to touch on some of the other news. The Saints.
All right.
We can do a whole podcast on Rita getting kicked out. But the Saints, they had all the news. They had yesterday, they announced in the morning they're bringing back Dennis Allen. Then at noon, they fired Rick Riprisch, who I was reading on Twitter was going to get promoted. Instead, he got fired. Then they are like, oh, yeah, we're hiring Jeff Ireland.
Well, first of all, I've got to call out Lions Yellen for the ridiculous media reporting day that he had yesterday where in the span of about 4 hours, he reports via sources that Rick Riprisch is going to be promoted, he's going to get Ryan Pace's old job, and no less than 4 hours later, he breaks the news that Riprisch is fired and that Ireland is taking over for his job. So that's pretty epic reporting right there. I think it's time for a new source. But listen, I think the Ireland hire is really good. I think it goes back, and you have some good points to make, which I'll let you make about his relationship with Sean Payton. But I think you look at a guy that's been at the highest level, a GM.
Yeah.
You can criticize how he handled getting the right. I think you can criticize how he handled the Jonathan Martin and Incognito situation. You can criticize how he did as a GM. But what he has kind of proven consistently is that he knows how to build a football team. He has done that. He has made he has found talent, and he has built good football teams, and he's done it at the highest level.
Defensive talent, especially.
Defensive talent, and now you look at a guy who and I don't need to tell you, Ralph, about what he did in Dallas with Brady James and Ratliff and some of the other – and DeMarcus Ware and some of these talented defensive players that he got in Dallas. But
Cameron
Wake,
Avante Davis.
And now he comes to the Saints as, in my opinion, a huge upgrade over Reifrisch. So I think if you're a Saints fan, this is the kind of hire that you wanted when they lost Pace. You know, an established guy that you brought from the outside that brings new ideas and can help give you a vision for how you get talent on your roster.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, that's a great point. And the thing I want to make about Jeff Ireland is, you know, as people listen to this podcast, read my column, they know my wife, my beautiful, lovely wife. She is crazy. She's a crazy Dolphin fan. So I watch the Dolphins. I follow Dolphins news because she does. And here's the thing about Jeff Ireland.
In fairness, you have to be a little crazy to be a fan of the Dolphins.
You do. It's she just the thing is with my wife.
At least right now.
The Oilers left town, and just because they brought the Texans back, it wasn't the same for her. So she picked a new team, and it was the Dolphins. But here's the thing about Ireland is he was bad at GM. He made a lot of bad free agent signings, like Mike Wallace.
Yep.
He overpaid linebackers and that sort of thing, and they couldn't find a quarterback. And he made a bad hire of Joe Philbin. But don't kid yourself. He went behind Tony Sperano's back to try to get Harbaugh. If he lands Harbaugh, he's probably still the general manager of the Dolphins. Because Harbaugh probably would have fixed all their issues that they had. And Harbaugh would have got I think so. But that whatever that being said, the worst thing you can say about Jeff Ireland, Andrew, is he got promoted one level too high.
Yeah. And
now he's back
to doing what he does well.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, he's got the – to me, this is a Sean Payton hire, clearly. The interesting thing is Jeff Ireland and Bill Parcells are on the outs because Jeff Ireland went behind Tony Sperano's back when Tony Sperano was still the coach to try to get Harbaugh. Bill Parcells felt that as like some unforgivable sin. They like don't speak to each other anymore. But Sean Payton hired him anyway. So I just think it's an excellent move, you know. And the thing is, you know, I tweeted this, Andrew, is, you know, the Saints didn't have to make all these moves. You know, the fact of the matter is, if you take out 2012 for Payton being suspended, which everybody does, from 2009 to 2013, the Saints averaged 12 wins a year. They could have said, we went 7-9. You know what? We averaged 12 wins a year for the past 5 years. We're fine. We're going to stick with what works. It's going to be fine. We don't need to make any changes. We just need to do better. They didn't have to do that. I'm telling you, Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton, they aren't feeling heat from Tom Benson to win, you know, or else they're fired. They didn't have to make these moves. They did this because they wanted to. They didn't feel pressure to, and they kind of blew it up, you know?
Yeah, they did. And I'll tell you this too, Ralph. I think being able to get Dennis Allen, especially as an assistant, and not having to fire Rob Ryan to get him, is a huge get for them. A huge get. Dennis Allen's specialty is defensive backs. I mean, that's really his area, his position group that he's strongest with. And so, you know, you look at that immediately, he's going to be in the trenches with those guys. He's going to be in the meeting room with them. He's going to be working with them specifically on technique.
Yeah.
And that's what the Saints need desperately right now, is for their defensive backs to play better, to develop. And so he's going to have, I think, a big hand in that. And, you know, if he's not focused on developing a scheme for the entire unit and game planning and doing all those things, that's Rob Ryan's job. That's going to give him more time to really help develop this group of young players, especially a guy you know, for me, like, immediately, Dennis Allen comes in, you look at the pet project immediately as Stanley Jean-Baptiste. This is a guy, this is perfect for the Pirate, because I feel like this is the type of coach that at this point in his career could transform the path to success for him. And hopefully it works out, maybe it doesn't, but I think this is exactly why they're bringing him in, for guys like that, for guys like Corey White, who maybe all hope is not lost quite yet. And even if it's not those guys, I'm sure the Saints will bring in more young corners. Maybe it's Brian Dixon, but Dennis Allen is a guy they need right now. And look, you know Rob Ryan, if he doesn't perform well this year, he's going to be looking over his shoulder, because now they've got the heir apparent in-house if the Saints defensively struggle again.
Yeah, and that's a good point. The thing is, Sean Payton feels secure enough in the locker room and in different things, because let's be real about it. If the Saints, the first time this defense sucked, if they suck in the first preseason game, it's going to start. They're going to fire Ryan. Are they going to fire the fat man? They're going to fire Rob Ryan. They're going to fire Rob Ryan. Like, it's going to start. So if they struggle, that's going to be hanging over them all year. And Sean Payton said, I don't care, I'm bringing in Dennis Allen. You know?
Yep.
Because last year, you know, you were like, are they going to fire? They're not. They weren't. You knew they weren't going to fire Rob Ryan in the year, because what are they going to do? Are they going to make Joe Vitt the defensive coordinator? Like, what are they going to do? You know? But now
I did find it
interesting.
I don't know. I don't know if you saw this, Ralph, but I did find it interesting that Loomis, you know, basically said, "Hey, this coaching staff's not here because Sean Payton is knee deep in evaluations." And I could be wrong about this, Ralph, but here's my thinking. I think Sean Payton and Loomis may have kind of agreed to be like, "Look, Sean," he was asked today about the Dennis Allen hire. And Loomis said in his press conference, I don't know anything about that. You need to talk to Sean about that. That's his staff. And I found that interesting, because now I think Loomis and Sean Payton, this is how I envision this. The guys meet and they say, you know what, top to bottom, we're not coaching well enough. We're not evaluating talent well enough. Mickey, your job is to go out and improve our staff. Go find us the right guys and make the staff better. Get us better talent. I am going to go find us the right coaches. I'm going to do that. And so I think it's interesting that Mickey Loomis is kind of deferring those questions, almost as if he doesn't really have a lot of input in who the coaches are going to be. Obviously, Dennis Allen comes back. You know that's a Sean Payton hire. He loves the guy. Mickey Loomis is obviously firing Riperish and doing some things. And he was with Ireland today kind of looking at scouts and everything. Looking at players. And so I think – the fact that he said that Sean Payton is still back in New Orleans reviewing everything tells me that maybe things aren't finished. I mean, we know, A, the Saints still have some open jobs. And if they're going to hire more people, I have questions about who that's going to be, obviously. But secondly, it makes you wonder, is this all the blood that's going to spill? Because I still have some big questions about Greg McMahon and the job that he's doing. And, you know, a couple other guys on the staff. And so it'd be very interesting to see if, you know, in the next few days we see more moves happen.
Well, they gotta make moves. They gotta hire a receiver coach, they gotta hire a tight end coach, you know? I mean, they might not fire anybody, but they're gonna have to hire people, and you gotta go get the guys you want, because other teams are filling spots too. You know? So, you know, and I mean, obviously, the NFL prefers you do it during the bye week. Of course, you know, the Saints hiring an assistant or firing an assistant isn't gonna steal away the Super Bowl, unless they fired the fat man and made Dennis Allen defensive coordinator. I mean, that would be news. But again, that's something on the ticker, and it's a 3-minute thing on ESPN. Not even that. So, I mean. To me, you know, people had said, well, this proves that it was good that they didn't make the playoffs because they made all these changes. Andrew, I don't think that would have mattered, because if they'd have gone to the playoffs at 7-9 or whatever, They might have beat Arizona, but they'd have still got bounced. I think they would have made these moves probably regardless, because Ryan Pace was a hot commodity. He was going to leave. You know, and I mean, they won't come out and say it, Andrew, but the drafts haven't been good. And you know, the Saints are never
going to
say our draft.
That's the main indictment, you know, you have with Rick Reiprich as the head college scout. You know, obviously that was his primary function, his primary responsibility. And so I think they're saying that about as loud and clear as, I mean, obviously as fans, you see it. You see it on the field. We've witnessed this. We've screamed this from the mountaintops of the podcast, that the defensive talent, the young defensive talent on the Saints is piss poor. It has been since Sean Payton joined the team. And, you know, Ireland is the hire. You fire your college guy, a clear signal that you're not happy with how you're evaluating talent. You hire a new guy who's known to be, his specialty is recruiting young talent on the defensive side of the ball. And so immediately, that tells you all you need to know. And, you know, you always said that Buddy D would say, don't listen to what they say, watch what they do.
Hey,
and what they're doing right now is a clear indictment and a clear indication of what direction they need to go in.
Yeah, another caller. Callers will identify you by the last four digits of your phone number, 6463. What's your name and where are you calling from?
It's Dylan. It's Dylan, Ralph. What's up, man?
What's up, Dylan?
Hey, man, I was dying to call when I saw you doing a podcast. So, I mean, dude, like, man, just, I mean, this is just the beginning with, I mean, this is just the staff they've been firing. Man, what are they going to do when they get to the players? There's going to be some people gone, dude. I wouldn't be surprised if Junior Gillette's ass is gone, dude. I mean, somebody was driving around his Mercedes smoking weed. Are you fucking kidding me? After what just happened with the fight over last week?
I would say at a minimum, Dylan, I wouldn't say they're going to get rid of Junior Gillette, because look, you can't just, that defense isn't any good, and Junior Gillette's the best pass rusher they got. But he got arrested. And I don't know if his contract, if he gets arrested or he gets charged with whatever, they can make it so that contract isn't guaranteed. And I'll bet you a week's pay at a minimum they do that.
Look, this is all I want to say about Junior Gillette, okay? I mean, this goes back further, though. I mean, I just know, like, the Saints have this reputation, how they want a good locker room, and they don't want certain personalities. They don't want cancers in their locker room. And, you know, like, Junior Gillette called out all of these veterans that, you know, that meant a lot to the Saints over the season. And there was the fight, the jail thing. And then now there's this drug thing. Like, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to tolerate that. But, look, I know you guys have a show to do, but I just want to make one more point.
Go ahead.
You know, everybody's talking about the Patriots Deflategate with the quarterback stuff. But I haven't heard anybody mention the fact that, you know, what about the running having like a better grip on the ball if somebody fumbles?
Dylan, that's a great point. And I heard this today. And, Dylan, thanks for the call, by the way.
No problem.
With Deflategate. Their top three running backs, Andrew, they're the Patriots. You know how many fumbles they had in 2014?
How many?
Zero.
Yeah.
You know why? Because when you
as good as the Saints have been over the years with ball security for running backs, I mean, Pierre Thomas, Mark Ingram, those guys, and Sproles too, notorious guys that hang onto the ball well, makes you wonder if Saints haven't been guilty of this too.
Well, maybe so. Here's the thing. I was arguing with the guy from Deadspin today about, and I was saying, look, you know, Belichick deserves to get hammered because the Saints got hammered for Bounty Gate. And he was like, "It's you can't do false equivalency and, you know, but I'm like, you don't even know Bounty Gate." And I was arguing back and forth with him. The thing that drives me nuts about people on Twitter is, like, Deadspin, their stock and trade is making fun of Goodell as a liar. And, like, Goodell, they, like, Goodell lies about everything, about Ray Rice and blah, blah, blah. But about Bountygate, it's, like, all gospel. Like, whatever, everything that NFL says is totally true about Bountygate. And the Saints were trying to injure people. I think they killed a couple people during the Super Bowl year. I'm not sure. You know, and it just drove me nuts. But here's the thing, like, Belichick should get fucking hammered. Spygate. And look, you can say they won 45-7, Andrew, but you can't fucking, it doesn't matter. If you cheat, it doesn't matter what happened during the game. You cheated.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, and I don't know. We'll get into that maybe Monday on the regular podcast with the guys, but Robert Kraft is Goodell's boy and he's not going to get hammered. But let me tell you something. If the Saints had fucking done this in a playoff game, I can guarantee you next year, Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis would be missing minimum half a year. Maybe even brief.
They would be banished. They'd be banished to the CFL. The whole franchise.
That just annoys me. And the funny thing is, though, like, Roger Goodell's State of the NFL address next Friday is going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. And I
have a feeling we'll all be on Twitter melting down on that one.
And I know that it's going to take a woman to do it because Rachel Nichols fucking I don't mean this as a pun, but it's going to come out that way. She went after Goodell's balls in that in that press conference about Ray Rice. And all the other media, like Peter King, were just fucking, you know, throwing softballs at him. Rachel Nichols stepped up and, like, went at him like
a fucking... the jugular.
She went for the jugular, man. And that's what they need. And it'll be good. But we'll get on that in the podcast. But, you know, the Saints, I mean, I, Andrew, was nervous about... I wasn't as down... as you were really concerned about Ryan Pace leaving, and I was kind of, but when you combine Ryan Pace with Lucas, I was like, oh man, that's because he's the best scout they had. Even you could say, well, their personnel, they didn't do a good job, but he's like, he's the best scout they got, and they lost him and Pace. Then I became worried, but with Jeff Ireland, at least I feel better about it and even hopeful.
Yeah, I mean, I think at worst, you know, this is a lateral move. You know, I think you could argue the Saints are going to maybe get some better defensive talent with Ireland, maybe suffer a little bit on offense by losing Pace. Overall, I think, at worst, it's a wash.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is with this, with these moves, they got to get better, and they have, you know, the thing is, because of their cap situation, and look, we joke about Loomis math, and I don't think it's nearly as bad as people on Twitter, like Bill Bowen, well, we've been through that. It's not as bad as they say, but it isn't paradise either. Like, they're going to be able to get under the cap, I think, and be okay, but they're not going to have a huge amount of money to go spend, so they're going to have to do it through the draft, through undrafted free agents, and through bargains and free agency. If they want to get back to being a serious contender, Andrew, they got to have a great draft, and they got to add some people in free agency, and they got to find some lottery tickets, like, I hate to mention the guy's name because now he's in jail for, like, raping a dozen women. They got to hit on, like, a Darren Sharper. You know, they got to hit on, like, a Keenan Lewis. That's like a mid-range guy. You know, and Keenan Lewis, when they signed him, we were excited. Pay Keenan Lewis, you know, 60. You know, they didn't pay him $60 million like they did Jabari Jairus Byrd. You know, I mean, Keenan Lewis, he got a nice contract, but it wasn't exorbitant. I mean, they got to hit on a couple of those guys. They got to hit on a guy that's like, he's a defensive tackle, and they paid him 3 years, $9 million or whatever. You know, they got to hit on.
I'm going to say with this offseason, man, no one is safe. No one. I mean, I don't think Marcus Colston's safe. I don't think Ben Grubbs is safe. I don't think Jari Evans is safe. I know that Zach Streif's contract has very little bonus, and it's all salary. So he's a cut that immediately gives them tons of cap relief. I don't think Pierre Thomas is safe. I don't think Junior Gallette is safe. if they can find a way to unload Jarris Bird and get that contract off the books, they might. I could see them trading away Kenny Vaccaro in the off season.
Wow.
I mean, I literally, like, anything could happen right now, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
I really think if you're in the if you're the Saints right now on the roster, and you've seen what's happened with ownership, with the scouting staff, with the coaching staff, you should not be sleeping easy right now.
No, I mean, I think so too. I mean, we have so much time because you got 8 months till they go. But I mean, I think you're right. It's going to be. I'll be interested to see. I think Mark Ingram's going to be back because I think the running back market's going to collapse, and I don't think Mark Ingram's going to get more than $2 to $3 million a year. So I think Mark Ingram will probably be back on like a 3-year, $7.5 million deal.
Uh huh.
You know. But I've been, you know the joke with me. I thought Tracy Porter was going to get nice money in free agency. He got nothing. So that was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So
don't think Mark Ingram's coming back.
I think he will, because I just don't think, like, I mean, DeMarco Murray just ran for 1,800 yards, and the Cowboys are like, we'll give you 4 years, $17 million. And I know that's lowballing him, but the Cowboys were, they're confident enough that the running back market is so soft that they can go to the guy that ran for 1,800 yards and was a huge reason why they finally won a playoff game and be like, we're going to lowball you. You know? They're not doing that to Dez Bryant. You know? So I just think the running back market is going to be really, really soft. And, look, Mark Ingram, for all the great, nice job by him going to the Pro Bowl, but, I mean, for everything about him, has he had a season where he has not been injured in the 4 years?
Yeah, no. I was going to say this year, but he missed a few games with that hand problem, the thumb.
Yeah, so, like, he's a nice, complimentary running back. He won't even get as good of a 1 year deal as NoSean Moreno got from the Dolphins, where NoSean Moreno, I think he got like 1 year, $4.5 million. Mark Ingram's not even getting that if the total market collapses. I just think Mark Ingram's going to be, I think he's going to be back, you know, and it's going to be, I mean, he's going to be back unless the Raiders would want him and they pay the Raider tax. And then maybe he has to decide, do I want to go back to the Saints? The Saints are offering me 3 years, almost $7 million, or do I go to the Raiders? They're offering me 3 years, $10 million. So then, you know, it's the Raider tax, so it's $2.5 million.
I'll tell you, man, you see how some of these backs play that are third and fourth round picks as rookies. And my big question is, would the Saints even want him back? You know, that's the thing, because you gotta realize, man, in this day and age, the top backs, they're not going in the first round. I mean, I don't think a single running back went in the first round this past year. And so, you know, Jeremy Hill, I think, he was one of the first ones.
Mark Ingram is the last first-round running back, I believe.
Mark Ingram was the last first-round running back. So all of a sudden you're looking at the best talent that college football has to offer, and you can get them as cheap labor in the third or fourth round. Quality backs that are as good with fresher legs than Mark Ingram at this point. And you could get them for a quarter of the price. And if I'm the Saints, I'm saying, do we really want to bring Ingram back and invest that money when we have cap problems? Or do we just want to get a guy in the third or fourth round that could honestly start for us in year one?
All right. Back to the offseason, the coachings, the hirings and the firings. Fun prediction time, Andrew. The next move the Saints make, is it going to be to hire someone, or is another coach going to get fired?
You don't have to give me a name.
I think the
firing's done. I think. But I tell you, the comment that Mickey Loomis made today, and you know, he refused to talk about Dennis Allen. He still refuses to publicly give Rob Ryan a vote of confidence. That is just shocking to me. Based on that, I can't say for sure that they're not going to fire someone.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd like to think at this point they would have moved
on. But it wasn't, You know, I mean, that's a good point. They said Rob Ryan's coming back, but it wasn't like a press conference where Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis announced it. It's just media reports, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean...
And we've seen how reliable the media reports have been lately.
Yeah, I know. Here's the thing. I hope Rob Ryan doesn't get fired. I like Rob Ryan. You know, I like him. I think it'd be... If they fire him, I'd understand, but it does seem tremendous. I mean, it would seem tremendously unfair. But, I mean, that's life. That's the NFL. The NFL isn't anything but fair. You know, and I'm the guy... I have a soft spot for Monty Williams. And Monty Williams is a terrible coach. He's a really decent human, as we go to the Pelicans. But Monty Williams, if you read the article about Ryan Anderson's girlfriend committed suicide, and Monty Williams, like, what he did to help Ryan Anderson was amazing. So Monty Williams is an amazing person, but he's a terrible basketball coach, and he needs to go. But
he is coaching them to a win over the Lakers currently. So at least we don't miss Byron Scott.
No, thank God. If they'd have lost to the Lakers, Jesus Christ, Andrew. So we only have like 3 minutes left, Andrew, because this is a mini podcast. This is an emergency. Off season so far, Andrew, what do you think of it? Do you feel better about the Saints now than you did when we had the Monday podcast after Tampa forfeited the game to them?
No, not necessarily. It's still a work in progress, and I want to see how the whole off season unfolds. Like, we're just scratching the surface here, man. That's the crazy thing, is this is all really just getting started. You know, if you told me they would lose Ryprish, Ryan Pace, and Lucas, and right now Ireland's the one guy they've really brought in. I don't know that I'm psyched about that. I think it's okay. Psyched about Dennis Allen coming back. I really think that's a huge coup for the defense as they try to improve.
I will say to all the people on Twitter, they haven't come at me yet. I think they just forget. But I was arguing with them. I didn't think Dennis Allen would come back if they had Rob Ryan still, because I thought Dennis Allen would have better job options than an assistant coach with the Saints. I thought he would get a coordinator job. I was wrong. He must have not had better options because he's coming back to the Saints. So,
he may also have been promised that he's in line for the defensive coordinator job next year if Rob Ryan doesn't pan out, you know. And so that may have convinced him to come. You never know.
Well, I mean, in hell, like you said, they still, you know, there hadn't been anything public about, you know, I hadn't heard it from Sean Payton's mouth or Mickey Loomis's mouth that Rob Ryan's coming back. So, you know. That domino could still fall. Has Buffalo – they're keeping Jim Schwartz as defensive coordinator, I think.
I believe so, yeah.
Because Rex is the coach there, you know. But we got about 90 seconds. I'm like you. I feel a little – I actually feel a little bit better about the Saints than I did post-Tampa, because we knew they sucked at defense drafting, you know?
Yep.
We knew they were bad. They have brought in a guy that at least has a track record of finding good defense. So that's step one of the
process. I mean, he has a track record of building an entire roster.
Yeah. So that is a good – to me, it's a very good step. They're going to have a new, fresh perspective. I like that. Now – like you said, they still got a ton of stuff to do, but I like it better. I feel probably 25% better about where the Saints are from that Monday following the season. And as far as the future of the Saints, I feel better about the long-term future of the Saints. I feel much better because I feel like even if Gale Benson is an unknown commodity, Rita Benson was kind of known, and it was kind of a mess.
Yeah, the prospect of her running the team would have been really scary.
Yeah. So
real scary.
Andrew, thanks for joining us on short notice. Thanks for the dozen people that were in the chat room. Thanks for the couple people that called in. We'll get more into this on Monday. You know, Saints, man, Andrew, breaking news. And it never slows down anymore. That's why we do a podcast every week for you people, because it never ever slows down. For Andrew,
hey,
I'm Rob.
I don't even know that we called an emergency podcast during the season.
No, we didn't. I don't think we. I can't remember the last emergency podcast we did. In fact, I don't think we never had one during the year, and I don't think we had
something,
one.
Something tells me Bountygate.
Oh, Bountygate started the weekly podcast, but I don't think we've had an extra emergency podcast. I don't think we had one all last year, so you know, we're making progress. But thanks, Andrew, for joining us. Thanks for listening. We'll have this Monday with Dave and Kevin and the whole shebang. Until then, be safe.